The Petition by Brian Clark, with Peggy Ashcroft as Lady Elizabeth Milne and John Mills as General Sir Edmund Milne, MCDSO. The action of the play takes place in the sitting room of the Milne household in the spring of 1987. Lady Elizabeth is reading her Guardian, Sir Edmund his Times.
Disgraceful. Edmund, you know the doctor said you should restrict yourself to just one before lunch.
It is before lunch.
It's 10 o'clock.
I'll make it last. Incredible.
You'd better get it off your chest.
I pay what? 25 pence for this paper. That's 5 shillings in real money. And one whole page is a petition. A list of all the Reds, Queers, out-of-work thespians, crooked politicians, do-gooders. All the out-and-out lunatics in the entire country.
Seems good value. You'll know who to avoid.
And the top of the whole list is Field Marshal Sir Jeremy Phillips.
Jeremy.
Leading the list of those faint hearts who want to get rid of the bomb.
It's not a petition to ban the bomb, dear, just to renounce the first use of it.
What the hell's the use of having the thing if you advertise to the enemy that you're not going to use it?
Not going to use it first.
Oh. So they can shell you, bomb you, nerve gas you, kill you with anthrax, and you promise just to use catapults.
Don't we have shells and tanks and things?
Not as many as he has. And Jerry Phillips knows that. What can he have been thinking about to lead this lot into battle? He must have become senile.
He hasn't.
I mean, look at them. Dame Edna Fairley, an actress. What the hell does she know about nuclear strategy?
What we all know.
Sir Kenneth Canning, a painter. Jasper Delton, an architect. Philippa Hughes, a novelist. Neil Kinnock. Ken Livingstone. Helen M. Lady Elizabeth Milne. Lady Elizabeth Milne? You?
That's right. One of London's more celebrated lunatics.
You gave them permission to put your name to...
I signed the petition.
But why?
I believed in it.
You can't have.
Why not?
It doesn't make sense.
It does to me.
But you've never taken a public stand on anything.
Perhaps it's time to start.
Did it occur to you how it would humiliate me?
When I signed it, I wasn't thinking of you. But of course I knew you wouldn't be pleased.
How could you do it, Elizabeth?
Because I felt strongly about it.
You could have talked to me.
I learned many years ago not to talk politics with you.
I can't understand it.
No.
What's that supposed to mean?
Just what I said. I understand you can't understand it.
Because you think I'm stupid?
No, of course not. It's just that you think within strictly defined limits.
You mean I'm limited?
No, you limit yourself deliberately. As a matter of policy, philosophy even. In fact, of course, you're very intelligent with a clear, logical mind.
Thank you.
So, having laid down the ground rules of your life, all your beliefs, actions can be predicted.
How boring for you.
To be honest, I have sometimes thought so. But on many more occasions, I've realized it also means I can count on you. And I have appreciated that. I'm sorry, Edmund. Not sorry to have signed it. But I'm sorry to have caused you pain.
Yes. What did you expect?
Well, I suppose I expected you to be extremely angry and to flounce off down to your club.
Well, I'm glad I still have the power to surprise you.
Yes, so am I.
As for going down to the club, you've made that rather difficult, don't you think?
Because of your friends? They'll laugh at you?
It's not funny, Elizabeth. You're exposing us to ridicule.
I think that's going a bit far. If husbands and wives who have different opinions are ridiculous, we're members of a very large club.
It's not the difference of opinion that matters. It's the exposing of it to every Tom, Dick and Harry.
Ah, I see. Not in front of the children.
Precisely. We are privileged to lead in some small way, and it is therefore our duty to support the Sovereign and her government, whatever our private opinions.
But you're retired, Edmund. You're 80, for God's sake. You're not in the army anymore.
Officers do not retire. They merely go on half pay. I still hold the Queen's commission, and shall do until the day I die.
So does Jerry, presumably. But he doesn't believe that makes him a political eunuch.
Jerry?
As a matter of fact, his signing it encouraged me enormously.
Did you know that he was going to sign it?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact.
Did he ask you to sign it?
No. If you want to know, I asked him.
When?
About a fortnight ago.
But we haven't seen him for months.
You haven't seen him for months.
But you haven't been out, not since your illness. He came here?
Yes. He came to see me when I was in hospital a year ago. Since then, he's come round every Wednesday for tea.
Oh, my God. Well, why didn't you tell me?
I didn't think it would increase the pleasure of your bridge afternoons.
But it's so underhand. I'm not surprised at Jerry, but you...
What about me? Surely you don't suspect we've been having a geriatric love affair. What with Jerry's tin leg and my woman's insides, as you delicately refer to them, any attempt at coition would be likely to end in extreme embarrassment.
I didn't mean that.
Didn't you? You've never liked Jerry, ever since Calcutta in 33. You've always wondered if we had an affair then.
And did you? No. No, there's no need to answer that. I don't want to...
No, we didn't. Jerry was and is too much of a gentleman.
I would have preferred it if you had said you were too much of a lady.
But we both know that isn't true.
I don't know that.
I suppose lack of imagination is an asset to a soldier. If you could imagine all those guns pointing, it would be much more difficult to charge them.
It's also an asset to a pacifist. If you can't imagine what it would be like living under the Russian jackboot, it's much easier to disarm yourself.
Oh, I can imagine that all right. I'd rather be dead. Believe me, Edmund, if Ivan lands at Dover, even I would urge you to charge him. And if my woman's insides will let me, I'll be by your side.
So, what's this nonsense about?
That's different.
It isn't. The bomb is to deter Ivan from contemplating landing at Dover.
Just as the Maginot Line was supposed to deter Hitler.
Oh, that was a complete cock-up.
And you believe that that was the very last cock that the world's armies will up?
On that scale, yes. The alternative is too horrible.
It was thinking about Hitler which made up my mind about the bomb. I'm glad the French didn't have it to throw when Adolf burst through the Maginot Line.
Around it, it should have extended to the North Sea.
They had a rough 5 years, but they were liberated in the end. And now French children are still being born with only one head.
Believe me, the Russian rule of Britain would have lasted a hell of a lot longer than 5 years.
So, if it comes to that, I'm glad King Harold of England didn't have it to lob at William the Conqueror. Being willing to die for your country is a decent, honourable feeling. Being willing to wipe out the planet because you and your children can't rule a bit of it for a few hundred years is a monstrous arrogance.
Steady, little girl. Insides again.
Edmund, you're a funny old stick. You've waded through the blood of your own men on the battlefield, but concerning my late lamented uterus, you're as squeamish as a little boy.
Can I get you something? One of your pills?
Yes, they're on the sideboard.
Some water?
Please. as you've decided the sun is over the yard arm or whatever, perhaps you'd flavour it a little with some of your brown medicine there.
Boom. Here.
Thank you.
We shouldn't talk politics. We've never agreed. Especially when you're not yourself.
We've agreed even less when I am myself.
No, you know what I mean.
You've never forgiven me for voting Labour in 1945, have you?
To be quite honest with you, Elizabeth, I never really believed you did.
Well, I'm damned. You think I was just teasing you?
Well, yes.
Very well, General Sir Edmund Milne. Let me tell you this. I didn't before, because after 45 it didn't seem worth the candle. But I have voted Labour in every election since 1945.
I don't believe it.
I did.
Even for Michael Foot?
Yes.
Now I know you're not telling the truth.
I can see I should have always told the truth about everything. If it was unpleasant, you wouldn't have believed it.
You mean, you haven't always told me the truth?
Well, you know.
What have you lied to me about?
Nothing specific. I was joking.
Were you?
If you're playing a game, Edmund, be careful. It's dangerous.
Who's playing a game?
Very well. The truth. Where should we start? Money? Sex?
Oh, what are you talking about?
You asked me what I'd lied about, so I'm prepared to think back and try to remember all the times I've been less than strictly honest. I suppose we could start with the little things, like the times when I've been overdrawn in the bank without telling you, and the odd faked orgasm, and then move on to more serious things.
No,
like...
this is ridiculous.
You don't want me to go on?
I don't want to quarrel with you, Elizabeth.
That's been our tragedy.
Tragedy? You mean you'd have preferred us to have conducted our lives like Billingsgate fishwives?
Sounds lively, anyway.
I wish you'd take me seriously.
Honestly, Edmund, I can't think what to say to that. You wish I'd take you seriously.
That's exactly what I said.
Yes, I heard. Did you hear me saying exactly the same thing about me all morning?
You mean about that, that petition thing?
Yes. I didn't sign it on a whim. It wasn't a piece of childish rebellion or pique or seeking notoriety. I thought about it carefully. I weighed the arguments, all pros and cons, and finally, deliberately, when I decided I really believed in the proposition, I signed it. And I beg you to take that seriously.
You felt that strongly?
I did.
Then I have to accept it.
Thank you, Edmund. I mean it. Thank you.
I accept that you felt that strongly, but I don't understand it or see why you had to make a public spectacle of us.
That's the nature of battles, Edmund. They can't be private. If you attack the enemy so gently and quietly that even he doesn't know he's being attacked, you're not likely to win.
And who's your enemy? Me?
Not you personally. But your opinions, your aggressiveness, and I have to say it, your arrogance. Yes, insofar as you are your opinions, you are the enemy.
That's how you regard me?
No, of course I don't. It isn't as simple as that.
Well, it seems that way to me.
And you're not being honest.
Oh, so you can add habitual liar to your list of my charming attributes.
Oh, stop being so childish, Edmund. Why is it you regard fighting a battle in war as so complex and human relationships as so simple? It's the other way round.
Oh, I've never gone along with all that psychoanalyst nonsense. It's just a way of people finding reasons for not doing what they ought to do.
Then you refuse to use a powerful tool for trying to understand people. You'd rather see them as some sort of automata running along a railway track or falling off it.
Of course I don't see people as robots. It's because I see the difficulties that I know you have to choose some pretty simple rules to live by and stick to them, not cop out when the going gets rough.
And what if the rules are leading to chaos? It's madness to follow them to self-destruction.
Well, if you think I'm mad, I can see why it wasn't so hard to have our name printed and associated with that harem scarum lot.
I'm sorry, it's our name. I can't be held responsible for that. I would have been perfectly happy to have kept my maiden name if I'd known I was going to bring shame on yours.
But perhaps you wish you'd kept your maiden name in any case. Not mad at me.
Do you really want to discuss that?
No. I've done what I can. Always. You've always been number one for me. I am sorry if you don't feel the same way.
It's hard to believe marriages are made in heaven. But wherever ours was made, we're still here, together. And we have 4 fine children to leave after us, and 7 grandchildren. And in a month, our first great-grandchild.
Yes, the bloody fool. Fancy getting her pregnant. He's only 20.
Were you a virgin at 20?
Of course not. I was at Sandhurst.
Well, I can't think it's worse to get carried away with a girl you're in love with and standing by her than banging away at a West End prostitute without giving a damn for her, or for yourself, for that matter.
Oh, well, you're just young men. No harm in it.
Maybe. But it seems to me that lots of young people nowadays are older than we've ever been.
Oh, nonsense.
Edmund, please don't drink any more this morning. You never used to. It's very recent. You get so bad-tempered when you've had one too many.
What the hell do you mean? All right.
Come and sit down, please. This isn't a barrack square. It's very hard to talk to you if you're on the move all the time.
That's the idea. It's harder to hit a moving target.
Please. I'm sorry about Jerry. Not telling you. I suppose if I told the truth, I'd have to admit I enjoyed it rather, like an intrigue. Not that it was. I don't know why I feel so foolish protesting my innocence at my age.
I don't know why either. I still find you attractive, desirable.
Thank you.
Even if you're insides
aren't able to be so hospitable as formerly. I'm sorry, Edmund, really I am.
No, don't be silly. The only thing that matters is that you get well again. Get rid of that damn stitch that keeps catching you.
Yes. But I wouldn't mind if you found it necessary to, well, to find someone else occasionally.
Oh, Lizard, what do you think I am, eh? Some young stud who has to have his oats regularly? In any case, where would I find somebody else?
So you have thought about it?
Of course I haven't. I was just saying that even if I did, well, where would I?
Well, when you were in Sandhurst.
I've no desire to go banging away, as you put it, at a West End prostitute. Especially after you.
Thank you. I can't remember when you said anything so nice to me. For ages.
Women. Say you prefer your wife to a prostitute and they come over all unnecessary.
There's something else I have to say. Not telling you was my idea, not Jerry's. He wasn't very happy about it. But I insisted. So don't be angry with him, will you? Feel it necessary to call him out at dawn.
All right. But I reserve the right to be bloody angry with him for signing that petition, bringing the whole army into disrepute. Conduct unbecoming. I shall sort him out about that, even if I am at the back of a long queue.
Well, it's up to you.
Did you really ask him?
Yes.
Did you have to persuade him?
On the contrary, I showed him the petition. He read it, took out his pen and signed it.
Weren't you surprised?
No. We'd done a lot of talking over the year. I would have been surprised if he hadn't signed.
Makes nonsense of his whole life.
He doesn't think so. He isn't a pacifist. His whole life has been dedicated to keeping order with the minimum force necessary. For him, reducing the planet to an uninhabited heap of frozen radioactive ash does not constitute keeping order.
Well, I promise I shan't see him. He doesn't go to the club much anyway, and after this, I doubt he'll go again. So, even if I do decide to go...
Of course you'll go. It's your life, Edmund.
But you have to see. I mean, after this...
I'm damned if I see. I'm not an appendage of you. I have my own life, my own decisions. You're not responsible for me.
It's not so simple.
It is so simple.
You always be so... so powerful, Elizabeth.
Too powerful?
No.
That didn't sound very convincing.
Well, it hasn't been easy, has it?
No. Not for either of us. Do you know what the hardest part for me was?
Oh.
The war.
Well, of course. You were alone for years.
It wasn't that. It was the knowledge that those were the happiest days of your life. You were fighting, often hungry. Mostly bored, I expect. You watched friends die and become horribly maimed. In spite of all that, it was better than living with me.
I'm a soldier, Liz O'Gara.
Yes.
It's what I've been preparing for. All my life before then.
Yes, I understand. But it's hard.
I'd better ring James this morning.
Oh, why?
Well, I don't know how long it takes the Times to get to Brussels, but as you've taken a hand in planning NATO's strategy, I dare say NATO HQ will get wind of it pretty quickly.
There's no hurry. It will take military intelligence at least a month to uncover my threat to the national security.
You'll take some ragging in the mess.
That doesn't matter, does it?
We're an army family, Elizabeth.
Not all of us.
I mean, even Simon's doctoral thesis was on the Trojan War.
I think he was more interested in Homer's language than the details of military history.
Yeah, I remember we talked a lot about it at the time.
Yes, he was very clever.
Clever? You mean he was humouring me?
No. He just met you on your ground. You wouldn't have wanted to talk about Homer's metric structure, would you? I'm sure you helped him a lot.
The principles of war never change. The Greeks, Romans, Clausewitz, always the same. Punch a hole and pour through it. The principles never change.
Until now. Now you punch a hole, and before you can pour through, you yourself die from the after effects of the punch, and you take the planet with you.
We can't get away from it, can we? Huh?
No. I haven't been able to for months.
What brought it on?
Well, I've always been interested in politics, you know that.
Indeed, I know that. Sometimes I wondered if I'd make colonel, never mind general.
Oh, Edmund, I always thought about your career. I never once crossed the line.
Crossed it? You walked it like a tightrope artist. I was always waiting for you to fall on the wrong side.
But I never did I? Not till now. And surely at the age of 80 you've given up hope of your battle?
You had some close calls.
Yes. It was fun. Do you remember Cowlishaw?
Do I remember Cowlishaw?
Madam, are you implying that the Raj is bad for India?
Oh, Colonel, with soldiers like you to guide her, I'm sure India will bear the mark of British rule for centuries.
Oh, Edmund, you remembered. How sweet of you.
Cowlishaw hadn't been so damn stupid. He'd have known what you meant. He was the only one in the mess who didn't. Oh, we were damned lucky.
I wasn't lucky. I knew him. He was so vain that provided a woman smiled at him, she could say anything she liked.
You did take risks, though.
Edmund, I had to stay alive.
You hadn't said what finally caused you to make a public spectacle of us.
Well, as I said, I was interested in politics. And when I took that Open University degree 10 years ago...
Ah, that's it.
What do you mean, that's it? You were proud of me.
Well, yes, yes, in a way. I mean, why a woman of over 60 should want to go back to school defeated me.
You were always going back to school all through your career. Field officers' courses, staff college, senior staff college.
But not after I retired. Went on half pay.
Well, I haven't retired. Unfortunately, I didn't have anything to retire from.
When we retired from the army.
Yes. But actually, Edmund, I retired from the army a very long time ago. At the age of 19, I didn't realise I was taking the King's shilling. I thought I was just marrying you. It didn't take me long to find out how much he wanted for a shilling. So privately, in my heart, I gave it back to him.
But the only way you could do that was to leave me. Did you think of it?
Yes. I did, but James was on the way.
You mean, if you hadn't been pregnant, you would have left me?
No. It's too easy, that. I meant being pregnant, I didn't really consider it. And if I had, no doubt I would have come up with all sorts of other reasons why I shouldn't leave you.
Oh, well, that's very gratifying. I mean, knowing that you are capable of finding all sorts of reasons why we should stay married, apart, that is, from the boringly obvious ones, like you love me, or at least I thought you did.
I did. I do still, as a matter of fact. But it was a shock, Edmund, as a young wife of, what, 19, 20, to discover I was not just married to you, but to an army, an empire.
Oh, you exaggerate.
No. You remember the Victorian mother's advice to her daughter on her wedding night. Won't be pleasant, dear, but just lie back and think of England. Well, for me, our lovemaking was so marvellous because those were the only times I didn't have to think about bloody England.
Oh, but damn it, Elizabeth, you knew the score. I mean, you were born in it, dear. You must have known.
But we weren't military. We were civil.
And was that so different?
No, I don't suppose it was, really. Looking back, I suppose Mother married the civil service just as I married the army. So my education, my formal education, came late. But I'm glad it came sometime. It was wonderful.
Well, I'm glad when it was over. Forever stuck in your books. Coming to bed at 1:30 after the TV lectures. Up at 6, hear another on the radio. Summer schools.
It's sad, isn't it? Your best years were spent away from me, and my best years were spent away from you.
So, 6 years after you graduate, the full fruits of all that insomniac effort burst forth in the Times. It was Harold Wilson that started the Open University, you know.
I know, but you mustn't blame him. My name's in the Times, his isn't. As far as I know, he'll be perfectly happy to blast off with H-bombs when the first Russian scout car comes through the wire. And you think it would stop there? It would be bound to escalate.
All right.
Yes, just a twinge.
Now we should stop this. It can't be doing you any good.
But I haven't told you why I signed the petition.
But you said the degree and all that made you...
No. It was wonderful, important to me. I'm very grateful, Edmund, for your support in that.
Oh, it was nothing.
I think it was something. It did clarify things for me, made it easier to think, to explain things to myself. But I think I would have signed that petition even if Harold Wilson had never needed that idea for an election speech. And in any case, it may have been Wilson who thought of it, but it was Jenny Lee who made it a reality. We have to thank a woman for that. Of course, that probably confirms your belief that the whole thing was a mistake anyway.
Let's not go on. I mean, you're not addressing me. It was just some figment of your imagination.
But I haven't told you why I signed the petition.
Now, there's no need to go on. Now, just take it easy.
It was in hospital a year ago. And for the first time, I was really facing my death.
Please.
And I realized a strange thing. I didn't really mind. Not all that much. Dying would be a tiresome process, but nothing more. Being dead, I didn't really mind at all.
Elizabeth.
Unless there was nothing left. That would make dying more than tiresome. It would become a futile agony. All that effort, all that sacrifice, all that pain of childbearing, child-rearing, the pain of loving you, Edmund, and the pleasure, all that becomes ridiculous, absurd, if all that's left is a heap of radioactive ashes. I can't bear the thought of that, Edmund.
You don't have to. It isn't going to happen.
I hope not. But I had to do my bit to try and make sure it doesn't. Please understand, Edmund, I didn't want to hurt you.
I know you didn't, you silly old thing. In any case, what's all this talk of dying, what? You've years left yet. Time to sign dozens of those damn things.
No, Edmund. No. You have to know now. It'll become obvious soon.
How long?
3 months, most. It could be sooner.
How long have you known?
Since the operation. They removed the uterus, but it wasn't fibroids. And it had already spread.
But why didn't they tell me?
I told them not to.
But why?
Oh, what was the point? What could you have done?
Well, I could have supported you.
But you have. In the way you always have.
Well, I needn't have gone down to the club so much.
Precisely.
That's cruel.
I don't mean it to be. What could you do? Really do? It's been far better for me to live out the rest of my life as normally as possible.
I should have known.
You've always hated long goodbyes. How would you have coped with one lasting a year?
I would have liked the chance to show you.
Oh, Edmund. If I have misjudged you... I'm sorry.
Does Jerry know?
Oh, please, Edmund. Don't torture both of us.
So he does?
Yes.
But he doesn't embarrass you by not being able to cope with difficult emotional situations.
He's been a great help, mainly by ignoring the situation and just gossiping over tea. I ignore his arthritis and tin leg, and he ignores my insides.
What will happen?
Nothing particularly dramatic. The pain will grow. I shall take more and more pills until, I suppose, it'll be a toss-up. What gets me finally, the pills or...
In 3 months.
Or less.
What should we do?
Just wait, Edmund. What else?
Do you want to go away on holiday? See old friends?
No. I'm content to stay here. I'd rather stay here. Wherever I go, I have to take it with me. Just doesn't seem worth it.
Do the children know?
No.
Do you mind if I invite them to the funeral? I'm sorry.
Please don't be bitter, Edmund.
And this is the way it ends. Our marriage, our life together, just peters out like a guttering candle.
I've thought of blowing it out. As long as those pills control the pain, it doesn't seem worth it. In any case, I've had a good year.
I didn't mean that. Our life together. After 50-odd years of marriage, you're leaving. And don't think it's important enough to mention it. Not to me, anyway.
Edmund, terrible. I didn't see it like that at all.
What did Jerry think?
He thought I should tell you.
Now, let's not go on.
No. But let me say, I'm sorry. I've been selfish, and I'm sorry.
Well, can't be long for my turn, too, eh? It isn't the end of the world, is it?
Well, that's why I signed the petition, so it wouldn't be.
You never give up, do you? Well, I don't want to give up on that damn stitch there, either. Hmm? Whatever it is. Now, are you sure there's nothing anyone can do?
I'm sure.
We can bring out more reserves, you know, get more opinions, go abroad.
I've seen the best men, Edmund. Old Jackson thought of that. Said you'd never forgive him if he hadn't done everything possible.
I'm not sure I'll forgive him in any case. He must have been part of your little conspiracy.
Under great protest.
Poor chap. I feel for him. He didn't stand a chance.
Has it been so hard, Edmund?
Oh, I'm not complaining.
But has it?
Yes. Then so's the day in the hunting field. I still used to enjoy it.
Oh, really? What was I, the mare or the fox?
The whipper in.
I didn't really spoil your career, did I?
I made full general. You can't have done that much harm.
But you were disappointed not to get your battle.
Oh, who knows? I may not even have made brigadier without you. I'm quite sure the command must have realized that if I could cope with you, a brigade would be child's play.
Stop teasing, Edmund. I'm serious.
And how else can I answer such damn silly questions? There's not been one day when I wished I'd buried someone else.
There's still time.
If I'd lasted 50 years, 3 months won't kill me.
But I'm not dead yet, Edmund. And I haven't finished what I want to do.
Then let's do it together, whatever it is.
I'm afraid you won't want to be with me when I do what I have to do. It's not enough just signing a piece of paper. I have to do more.
More of this ban the bomb thing?
Yes.
Well, what can you do? I mean, you're in no state to go marching all over the country or chaining yourself to the green and common fence.
I hadn't thought of that.
Well, so what is it you're planning to do?
In 10 days, on Monday week, there's a big rally at the Albert Hall. I intend to speak at it.
Make a speech at a rally?
Yes.
I don't want to be cruel, Elizabeth, but don't you know why they've asked you?
Because I believe in the cause, and they believe I could speak effectively, I suppose.
Now, you're not as naive as that. You know you've been asked because you are Lady Elizabeth Milne, wife of General Milne.
Oh, yes, of course. That goes without saying.
And you're prepared to let them use your name, our name?
Not them, me. I shall be using my name, our name. Didn't exactly harm your career when you were a Milne, son of Field Marshal Albert Milne.
I don't think I deserve that.
You do if you keep on about your name, as if you leased it to me on conditions.
In an ideal marriage, one doesn't have to state conditions. They are implied in a contract of love.
Honestly, Edmund, sometimes you can be so pompous. I half expect you'll burst out laughing at yourself, but you never do.
Do you really want to quarrel now, Elizabeth? Not 5 minutes after you tell me...
No, I don't. I don't. And I'm sorry. I have to allow for the shock, but damn it all, Edmund, it's me that's dying.
You know, Elizabeth, there must have been 100 times in our marriage when I was convinced that you'd drive me to an early grave. Oh, my God. Why is it all a metaphor? It suddenly seem wrong.
Do you know, I've noticed that these last months. I died laughing. If looks could kill, I'm dying to meet him. On and on they go.
You've had time to get used to it. You're going to have to give me some.
All I can spare.
And that doesn't include Monday week.
I'm afraid not. But don't worry, Edmund. After I've gone, you can put it down to terminal madness or something.
I need a walk. Just to turn around the park.
Please don't leave me now.
Why? I thought that was what you wanted. Why you didn't tell me? To have me out of the way as much as possible.
You're angry about something, and I've enough to cope with without your anger.
I cannot imagine why the company of a man for whom you have such contempt could be of any comfort.
Contempt?
Yes, contempt. Suggesting that I put your actions down to terminal madness? Do you really believe that after you've gone, I could possibly destroy something that's important to you just to make myself more comfortable?
I don't know what to say. Sorry seems so weak. I was just fighting for my corner.
Fighting, I can understand. Possibly as well as you. I don't know how many men I've killed or caused to be killed, but I respected them, the soldiers. I've never been cruel in war.
I'm sure you've always been an officer and a gentleman.
Even if you intend that as a sneer, I take that as a compliment.
A sneer? But I didn't. Or perhaps I did. Sometimes I think they're a contradiction in terms. How can you have a civilized war, kill in a gentlemanly fashion? It takes a man to come up with such a bizarre idea.
Perhaps it does. And I'm sure for you, therefore, it must be bizarre. But it means a lot to me.
Actually, I've more sympathy with the cannibal whose chief objection to the Second World War was that it was such a waste of meat.
Oh.
At least that's practical. And with those ideas, the cannibal wouldn't have bombed Hiroshima or Dresden. All I want to do is to remove the Armageddon counter. If we can do that, at least our children will be free to make the same stupid choices we have. Or perhaps they might even make better ones.
If Ivan's running the country, our children won't be free to make any choices.
Or grandchildren, or great-great-great-grandchildren. Someone in the future. The important thing is that there will be a future.
There's something appalling that we should be discussing politics at a time like this.
But it isn't. What should we be talking about? What sort of flowers I want? I'm still alive, Edmund.
Yes, I can see that. It's me that feels someone's dropped an H-bomb. Within 5 minutes, I hear that you're terminally ill and learn that you didn't trust me enough to tell me. And on top of that, for the first time, understand with what contempt you hold all the values upon which I built my life.
That's not true.
It is. You have so little regard for the whole way I've spent my life. You'd have more respect for me if I knocked off my neighbours in order to cook them for Sunday lunch.
Oh, wait a minute.
Second thought, they can have a week's reprieve. We'll eat jelly on Sunday.
Now I know why we've lost it. Why I love you. I know you hate it, Edmund, but you do have a sense of humour.
And why should I hate it?
It's very subversive. Before you can laugh, you have to see both points of view.
I've never doubted the values of the army.
No.
Or felt I was playing a game when I was defending our way of life.
No.
Or believed that the defence of that way of life entailed the lowering of standards of conduct towards the enemy.
No.
Or doubted for one moment that I loved you.
No.
Even when you were having an affair with Rawlings.
You did know then?
Of course.
How?
The army only looks big from the outside. It's a small club, really.
You never said anything. All these years. So why now?
when you draw up a peace treaty, it's as well to clear up all outstanding issues.
A peace treaty?
Yes. I'd like that for these last months. Wouldn't you?
Of course. Not that I'm aware we've been at war.
Oh, there's all sorts of wars. Hot, cold, phony. And the worst, lukewarm. Just sporadic sniping. Random casualties are no solution.
What do you want to know about Peter?
Nothing. I know when it started. I know when it ended. Part in the middle I can imagine all too clearly.
Sorry. Really very sorry.
I have no need to say any more. Just so that it's out in the open.
You must have been terribly hurt.
Just one of the random casualties. I got over it.
And what about you? Did you ever...
break my vows? Nope. Never felt the need.
That's hard to believe. But anyway, you always behaved as an officer and a gentleman.
I'm not ashamed of it.
You should be proud of it. When Peter cut and run, even I began to appreciate those values.
You can't expect a man to behave as a gentleman in a situation where a gentleman would never be.
Oh, Edmund. What a strange black and white world you inhabit.
Old-fashioned, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But in some ways very attractive.
But not in all ways, in your opinion.
No. Because the world isn't black and white, it's grey and bloody and confusing.
Oh, I'm perfectly aware that I'm a black-and-white dinosaur in a technicolor world. I'm also aware that the dinosaurs became extinct because they couldn't adapt themselves to the new world. I'm not completely blind.
I never thought you were. But don't despair, Edmund. After the bomb drops, the world may become fit for dinosaurs again.
I don't want to survive that. If it is ever dropped, it's failed to achieve its aim, but I don't believe it will.
Such faith. It's charming, but doomed. When we were married, you had the same faith that I would remain a faithful wife. I didn't.
But I didn't drop the bomb.
No. You pretended it hadn't happened.
I didn't.
You acted as though it hadn't happened. Perhaps that's the hope. If the Russians take West Germany or France, we may just act as though they haven't.
It happened before, when Hitler took Austria and Czechoslovakia and the Rhineland. Now, that's why I hate your damn ban the bombers. They make a war more likely by convincing the communists we might do the same again. And some Neil Kinnock or other will fly into Heathrow with a road umbrella waving a piece of paper saying, peace in our time.
I don't think Mr. Kinnock would be very pleased to be compared with Neville Chamberlain.
But don't you see that what the bomb has worked? We've had peace in Europe for 40 years.
In 1945, we'd have been shocked if we'd known that that would have been a cause for surprise or self-congratulation.
I wouldn't have been.
No, but you're a soldier dedicated to war.
To peace. To winning it, then keeping it.
But you're only really happy when you're doing the winning bit.
Because I'm a practical man, Elizabeth.
We won't agree on this, Edmund.
No.
Are there any other terms for your peace treaty?
I want assurances, from now on, that you won't attempt to hide anything from me.
I promise you. If Peter Rawlings comes back, you'll be the first one to know.
That would shock us all, especially his wife. He died 18 months ago.
Really? I didn't know. I thought they went out to South Africa.
Yes, he did. To his sons.
So how did you know?
I made it my business to find out where he was and what he was up to.
You dark horse.
I permitted myself an extra-large scotch the day I heard he'd died. I'd outlived the bugger. And when I came home, we made love. It was wonderful.
18 months ago. I remember that night. It was one of the last times. It was wonderful. So that was Peter's last gift, was it? A marvellous night with my husband.
Well, you could put it like that.
I thought you were delighting in me, not dancing on Peter's grave.
Oh, I was. The other merely added piquancy.
I'm not sure that doesn't constitute crowing over a defeated enemy, which is definitely conduct unbecoming.
Guilty.
Oh.
All right, old girl.
Yes.
Would you like a pill?
No, it's too soon. But you might refill my glass. Cirrhosis of the liver has lost all its terrors.
Right.
But I think I'll make that one of my conditions of the peace treaty.
Oh, what?
That I'm allowed to hold my side without you jumping all over the place like a cat on hot bricks.
Agreed.
And there's a harder condition.
Oh, what's that?
That as far as possible, for as long as possible, we carry on our lives just as we have for the last 20 years.
That's difficult.
I know. But I do want it very much.
But I've been out such a lot, you know, the club and...
I know. That's what I wanted. And it's what I still want.
You ask an awful lot.
I know.
Very well.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, we'd better get back to normal as soon as possible. If we go on drinking like this, we'll both be dead by the end of the week.
You have to go on with this speech thing?
Yes.
Well, that's not carrying on our lives as we have for the past 20 years.
No, but it is in a way.
Hardly. I think I'd have noticed if you'd taken up a political career.
Do you think I haven't thought and worried and wanted to do something?
But you haven't said anything.
You haven't said anything about a lot of things. Does that mean you haven't been thinking about them?
No, I try to be positive, you know, not worry about things I can do nothing about.
Then you'll be able to cope with my little condition.
Betty.
Betty? You haven't called me Betty since... Edmund, what's the matter?
Betty...
Edmund.
I'm sorry. Here we are, arguing about a damn silly speech. And you...
Oh, sit down, Edmund. Here, come here. Oh, Edmund. I need you to be strong as you've always been. I know it's difficult.
Difficult! We have to do something. We can't just sit here and wait.
There isn't anything to do. Let me get Jackson here. He'll explain to you and maybe give you something.
What's the good of sending for a man who's already admitted defeat? We've got to find somebody else.
I've seen the best. You must believe that. I can't go through it again. All the prodding and the indignity of it all. And it isn't admitting defeat, Edmund. I've had my 80 and a little bonus. Just because you're having a bigger bonus mustn't make me greedy.
I'd always thought that it would be me that...
Yes, so have I. But it's me that's the lucky one. I'm sorry, Edmund.
No. It's me that should be sorry. Blubbering away like a...
Like a man who loves his wife. To be quite honest, I think I'd have been a bit put out if my news hadn't had some reaction.
No. You were right to expect support. Not collapse.
I'm sorry. It won't happen again.
Oh, Edmund... Why must you ask so much of yourself? No, so little, really.
What are you talking about?
Your wife tells you that she's going to die shortly, and you feel it's some terrible moral failure that you cry about it. Your wife has an affair lasting, what was it, 2 years, and you...
2 years and 13 days.
Yes, we've lived on different planets.
Yeah. What did you expect me to do about it, Have scenes, rows, throw you out? Call out Rawlings for a duel, Well, what did you expect?
I don't know.
I can't believe that. You know damn well. You knew you were safe if you avoided open scandal.
Did I?
Well, of course you did.
Perhaps I did.
You'd go off for those weekends. Painting, you said, Watercolours. We still have one of your alibis hanging on the walls. Look at it, Sunset over Lulworth Cove, How did you manage to find the time? Or did you paint it secretly at home so that you wouldn't have to waste good rotting time?
Oh, God.
Lying sweating under that apology for a man, having him inside you that weak, effeminate, he couldn't control his battalion any more than he could control himself.
I assure you he wasn't effeminate.
Oh, that's your definition of a man, is it? Hey, just a stiff prick.
Edmund.
Providing he can get it up, he's a man well. Let me tell you, there's a lot more to a man than that. It's to do with control, self-respect.
Men's sauna.
Yes, bloody yes. A healthy mind and a healthy body. It's true. Look at you. Look at you now. What went wrong finally, hey? What was it that finally gave way? Your womb.
Oh, Edmund, please don't drink any more. How have you managed to keep this inside you all these years?
What should I have done?
And why now? If you wanted to clear it up, why wait until it's too late?
I told you.
To make a peace treaty. Oh, my God, Edmund. Grow up. What do you want me to do? Cross my legs and call Pax? You talk about a healthy mind and a healthy body. What about your mind? The only time in your entire life that you can bring yourself to talk about the sexual act with me, your wife, is when you're half drunk and half mad with self-pity.
Self-pity?
Yes, what do you think all this is about? I'm going to die and you're going to be left to your club, your bridge, your empty friends, fighting old wars, winning at Dunkirk.
You'd think more of me, I suppose, if I was sneaking up with some whore.
As Peter sneaked off with his.
I'm sorry. I deserved that. Oh, my God. I don't know what's come over me. I do, of course. Delayed shock. I've seen it often enough in the men. After being under fire, said the most outrageous things, some of them. I had to learn to cultivate deafness.
I could do that, but I won't. I'm glad I heard your heart speak unfiltered.
Hope you made the most of it. It won't happen again.
Then we'll both be the losers.
Too late to change now. Let it all hang out, as they say. The experience is as distressing as the expression.
Do you want to talk about it? Really, have me tell you exactly what happened?
No.
I wish you would. I'm sure it was not as sordid as you believe it to be.
How could it be other? It was deceitful, underhand, sly.
It's true I didn't tell you. I tried to save you embarrassment.
And if he hadn't cut and run, how would it have ended? If he'd been so besotted as to dump Jane and his kids, if he'd asked you to run away with him, would you still have continued to save me embarrassment?
I suppose I knew, really, that it would never come to that.
So you knew it would always be hole in the corner, if you'll pardon the expression.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Was I so inadequate?
Oh, Edmund, can't you see? The fact that we're having this conversation after, what, 30 years? Oh, it's grotesque. You've kept this buried, festering all this time. And I suppose if I hadn't signed that petition, it never would have come out.
But why did you have to? With him?
Well,
I don't want to know. I'm sorry. It was stupid to bring it up. Especially now. Bad show. I'm sorry about the picture, too. I'll get it mended.
Throw it away. Do you think I'll put it back now?
Well, of course you can, Albert.
In the basket, please.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
Doesn't matter, Edmund. I've always loved you, after my fashion. Our marriage wasn't perfect, but whose is? I've respected you, and I wouldn't have willingly hurt you. I'm not saying the affair with Peter was unimportant. It was very important to me.
Please.
No, I've got to go on. I won't go into details. It was a fling, wild, I suppose. But I absolutely needed it. Just for once in my life, I had to act. Just act. Abandon the rules of the game we'd always played. It was painful, especially at the end, but absolutely necessary. I don't know if all life could be lived at that pitch of intensity. Probably not. But if I'd not taken that step into the dark or into that blinding light, I would feel now I'd never really lived at all. I wouldn't have understood things in the way I do.
What things?
You, for a start. And war.
Me?
Yes. You left me to go to your mistress, the smoke, the blood, the excitement. That was your step into the blinding night. And if you think I wasn't jealous, you're wrong.
But how can you compare one's duty with...
Duty? That just makes you luckier. Your orgasm won you the MC and DSO. Mine a private hell.
Oh, so that's what you're doing now, is it? With this petition and speeches? Having another fling?
No. How little you understand me, Edmund. I hate it. Can't you imagine what it's been like waiting for the petition to be published, knowing how upset you were going to be?
I find it very hard to imagine you're having any fears concerning my reaction.
I wasn't frightened, just weary. This isn't exciting for me, a substitute climax. This really is one doing one's duty.
Damn queer idea of duty.
Is it? Not for me. I agree with you, it may be better to be dead than red, but try out the slogan, better two-headed children than red.
Oh.
Let's not quarrel any more about it, please. I have to go on with the speech. If you prefer, I'll move out, take a room somewhere.
Oh, don't be so damp, silly. If we survive the Rawlings affair, this is trivial by comparison.
Is it? Is it really? What strange values.
Not to me.
No.
But of course it's trivial. I mean, how can I take it seriously? You describe it as duty. In which case, it's always been your duty. Is duty something that just pops up in the last 5 minutes of life, like remembering to put the cat out before going to bed?
I should have been campaigning for years, since 1945.
If it was your duty.
And how would you have taken that?
I don't know. But if I'd been convinced that you were doing what you had to do, I suppose I would have coped somehow.
That's easier to say now. Look at your reaction to that petition, which can't affect your career at this late stage. My God. I can't imagine what you'd have said if I'd marched to Aldermaston in 59.
That isn't the point. Maybe we would have split up. I don't know. I'm just explaining why I don't take your petition particularly seriously. Now, you say you've been this armchair secret socialist all these years. Well, what does it matter? One Labour vote from Belgravia isn't going to shake the citadels of capitalism. At least with Rawlings, you did get into bed with him. That's why I take it more seriously.
Yes, you're right. I've been a coward. A deserter in the face of the enemy.
Whatever you think, I've never been that.
It's unfair to blame my weakness on you. I have to take the responsibility for myself. If I haven't been open with you, it's because I suppose I was having it both ways. Running with the hounds and secretly hoping the fox would escape. It's not very attractive, I know, but it doesn't alter my conviction that I have to do what I can now. You've always said it's the last battle that counts.
Shall I get some fresh coffee?
There isn't time.
Time?
It's Wednesday. Bridge day, remember? Lunch at the club.
Surely you don't expect me to carry on.
You promised. Remember our treaty?
Yeah, but...
No buts. We have to go on.
And Jerry, is he coming round for tea?
Yes.
But how can I play bridge when I'll be thinking...
As you carried on when I was carrying on with Peter. Only this time, all you have to imagine is two old fogies gossiping over tea and scones.
Very well.
Thank you. It's the whole point, you see, Edmund. You carrying on. Me, you, us. The world. I feel I'm on a rocket zooming away. The world looks smaller and smaller and infinitely more precious. Just like those marvellous pictures from the moon, a perfect jewel. If I'd been one of those spacemen, I know I'd have loved it, the Earth, home. Of course, I'm not like them. I'm not coming back. That only makes it more precious, not less. When it fades out of sight, I have to know that my time on it didn't spoil it. I don't want to look back and see some great flaw appear, then another and another until it cracks and splinters, disappears behind a poisonous cloud.
You're a tough old soldier, aren't you?
I had a tough old drill sergeant, didn't I?
Give my regards to Jerry. Tell him I think he's a bloody fool to sign that petition. And that I'm very grateful for the support he's given you in the past year.
That is conduct. Most becoming.
Well, I'll be off. Huh? Back in 2 hours. And if by then your comrades have built a barricade at the end of the road, I'll fight my way through.
I count on that, Edmund.
Peggy Ashcroft played Elizabeth and John Mills, Edmund, in The Petition by Brian Clark. The play was directed by Glyn Dearman.